dance every week for us? And Paige, that flip over here. When you do that, my heart goes, but then the more I know you, the more I know you can do it, and you're going to be okay. And I'm going to flip next week. Not really, no. No, I'm not going to. Isn't that beautiful? I love the expression here that we can have that in the house here. And that song and the words of that are so, so vital and so important in the day that we live in. And I pray that as a body of believers that we can continually work together and love one another in a great and in a special way. And let the world see that we love one another. The Bible says, by this will all men know that you're a follower of Jesus, for the love that you have one for the other. And if you master that, I don't care what else you know, you got it all. But if you can know everything, you can have everything memorized and not have any love, you don't. As one of the old farm boys used to say, you ain't got nothing. You need to learn to love one another. I was just advised that there's only 10 tickets left for the ladies. The River Spring Lodge is one of the most beautiful places unknown in this entire region. An old friend of mine has purchased this property. He's a gourmet chef, and the meal that they will serve at this event will be, it'll blow your mind. Patty and I were invited to go there a few weeks ago for dinner, and it was absolutely 10 plus. It was amazing. So, ladies, if you haven't gotten a ticket yet, I really want to encourage you to do that. And I forgot to say this in the first service, but I want to say it. Thank you, Ryan, Aaron, for taking care of the pulpit while I was gone. I heard they did an amazing job. Is that correct? And for all the staff and all those that serve, I'm so appreciative, and just I'm really thankful that things just continue to go just the way they would if I wasn't here, and I'm just so thankful for that. I want to pray, and then I want to share something with you. Lord, I just want to say thank you today for your grace and your love to every life. You care for every person here in a particular way. I pray that each one will know that before they leave today, and they will really experience the love that you have for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to look at a verse of Scripture in a moment in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 18 and 19. But I'm going to read something to you before that out of John chapter 6. This is an important Scripture, and this is something that is going to have an effect on all of you here today. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, he said, they are full of the Spirit and life. And that word Spirit means, it's a Greek word that means pneuma, and it means literally a blast of breath. That when you hear or read God's word, that there is a power that comes into your life that has an effect on who you are. That's why it's so important that when we gather together and we hear the word of the Lord, that it brings power and it brings change to our lives. Change that we didn't even maybe expect, we didn't even anticipate was going to happen in our lives. But anytime you read the word or you hear the word of God, it has really little to do with the delivery person, but it has everything to do with you opening up your heart and receiving. He says, when you hear the word of God, it's full of the Spirit, which is a blast of breath into your life. And I believe that that will happen for each and every one of you today. I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about the power of belonging. That really, you don't even have to believe in God before you can belong to the body. We hope that at some point that you will encounter that. But my hope is that the church will continually be a place where people can come and belong, and then after they belong, they will want to believe and understand who and what God has for them. Ephesians 2, 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but your fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. In the Message translation, I love how it says it. It says, you're no longer strangers or outsiders. And I want to tell somebody that today, that maybe you don't feel like you're a part. You are not a stranger. You're not an outsider. And then he goes on to say, you belong here. Isn't that beautiful? You belong here with as much right to the name of named Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using all of us, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. Sometimes people can belong for months before they believe. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the kingdom, the work of the Lord, the church of the living God, is all kinds of different people from different backgrounds that are searching, and they need to belong before they will ever believe in anything. And I always want to, in communicating, and whoever is at this pulpit, the word of the Lord, to be straightforward about the plan of salvation and give people the opportunity to know the person that Jesus is, but and never to water down the Bible in any way, but always love people, that no matter where they love, that out of that love, life change will eventually occur in and for their lives. And Jesus is the number one person in the Gospels that mentions this emotional response of compassion. The Bible says instead of Jesus blasting people for their faults and their mistakes, the Bible says that when he looked at them, he began to show love to them. He had more right than anyone at this time to take a moral stand, to picket against different individuals, or take a political stand of some kind. But yet, the Bible says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with great compassion. Matthew 9:36. Jesus saw people as sheep being broken, being bruised, have been beaten, thrown to and fro, and rather being filled with any kind of disdain, he was filled with love for them. And he stands to this day as a model of what spiritual life looks like. He remained approachable to whoever came to him, outsiders, the hurting, and his life revealed a level of spiritual maturity. And I want to tell you today that if you have spiritual maturity in your life, as it increases, so will the ability to be approachable from everyone and from anybody. And it is a sad indictment on people that are outside the faith, that they feel that they cannot approach a Christian because they are not like them. And nothing could be further from the truth. In Jesus' day, the least approachable people were the religious leaders of his time. They reeked of self-righteousness and judgment, yet the life of Jesus stands and gives a pause and says, whosoever will, let them come. And I want to tell you today, right off the bat, you belong here. You belong in God's house. You belong in the family of God. Come on, do you believe that today? So if you want to live the life that Jesus lived, you have to pause and ask yourselves a couple questions. Am I approachable by all kinds of people? Is the church I belong to approachable to all kinds of people? Do I have the compassion of Jesus for those who are hurting and disillusioned? Does the church I serve value compassion? And is our compassion evident to others? This is a beautiful thought for you to capture today. In the church, let me just say, it's far from perfect. And we have plenty of room to improve. And as we share God's message of grace in an uncompromising way to a culture that has no understanding of it, it is the love of Jesus that will draw people to him. And God, he always wants us, and we will always be our best when we work through life in life's relationships. And we will never be our best when we decide to be independent and think that we can live our lives without anybody else. And we don't need anybody else. We can do it on our own. And we have, you know, I talk to people that say, well, I just have my own church. You know, I just meet with me, myself, and I. And nothing could be further from the truth, because the church is referred to as the called out ones, never one. I read this story. I thought it was so cool. Muhammad Ali, he was flying across the country at one time, and he refused to buckle his seatbelt. And the flight attendant would come, and they would say, "Mr. Ali, you have to buckle your seatbelt." And he wouldn't respond, and another one would come, "Mr. Ali, you must buckle your seatbelt." And then third or fourth person came, said, "Mr. Ali, excuse me, but you must buckle your seatbelt." And Muhammad Ali, he strutted himself, bowed up in the seat, and he looked up and he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." With all the wisdom that this flight attendant could muster up, she looked back at him. She said, "Yes, but Superman don't need no airplane either." We are not super people. We need to belong to others. In this last week, I went on a missions trip to the Republic of Georgia and then to Armenia, and it was with 14 other people. And I'll talk about it as weeks go on. I'm speaking this Thursday night. I'll show a couple pictures and share just a little bit about it. But every day we would meet at about 7 or 7:30, have a little breakfast together, and then we would get on this big van and drive for an hour and a half to 2 hours to the place that we were going that day to minister. There was a doctor and a nurse on our team as well. The doctor would see people from mid-morning all the way into the evening, and the nurse, and they would help. And one of the craziest things that I learned, that in Georgia, when you go to the pharmacy, you don't need to have a prescription from the doctor for anything. You can go in there and get it. And I went up there, and I take this little pill called Xarelto because of the blood clots that I had. And I said, "They certainly just wouldn't sell that to me." And I went up, and the lady said, "Please spell it." I spell it. She pulls it up. "Here you go. It's X number of dollars." I go, "My goodness." So anyways, we're meeting every day, and we're having lunch together, and we're sitting at this table. There's probably 16, 18 people with some of the other people that were there, the pastor and a couple people. And one day I found myself, you know, when you're on a mission trip, you don't have time to get to know anybody over a long term. It's kind of, you're together, and you're going to be together for 10 days, and you better learn to love one another. And I got sitting at this table, and there was a person from another country sitting there. And I'm a little, you know, I have a few little isms about me, and one of them is, if you touch food, that better be your food. And there was this big, beautiful basket of this freshly baked bread, and these other little, they were like, I don't know, like flat bread, little skinny things folded up. And this person would reach over and would touch every one of them and fiddle around with them until they found what they wanted on the bottom. That drives me crazy. I'm wanting to say, "Hey, you touch it, you eat it." And then to load their plate up, and then when they ate, to eat with their mouth open and stuff coming out of their mouth. I'm like, "Jesus, what's happening right now?" But then when I heard their testimony, my self-centered, judgmental attitude, me, myself, and I, where it's all got to be how I want it, the way I want it, and sit with people that are just like me, went out the window. When I heard when this person had gone through all of their lives, the brokenness, the pain, it arrested me in my spot, in my chair. And I begin to weep, and I begin to ask God, "Lord, please forgive me for the way that I looked at that person and how I judged them, not even knowing who they were." And aren't we living in a time in our nation where there is so much division among people that we're talking negative about others and being critical and judgmental, and we don't even know who the person is, where they came from, what's going on in their lives, even right now? And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:5 that his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And my brothers and my sisters, it's not always going to be fun, easy, and how you like it. Being a part of the family has its privileges, but it also comes with its challenges. And if you always focus on the challenge and never get your eyes on the privilege, on the blessing, you miss the greatest plan that God has ever created for you. It's called his church. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around on that. In Ephesians 2:19, it says, I am called to belong to his church. So now you are no longer visitors or strangers. Now you are citizens together with God's people. You belong to God's family. Romans 1:6 says you are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That the church is not a location, but it's a people from different backgrounds, from different tribes, from different nations. And I want to just share, I want to close with this five thoughts of belonging that I hope will impact you. Number one, you learn who you are. I learn who I am. Ephesians 2:19 again says you are members of God's own family. You belong in God's household with every other Christian. Let me tell you, the family that you are born into will be on this earth and will be gone. But the spiritual family that you are part of right here will be with you forever. It's not a job, it's not a political party that defines you, but it's the part of God's family that will last forever, that you get to discover in it who you really are. And Jesus makes us a part of that family so we can understand who we may not be. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:11, Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. That is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. That no matter how messed up your life is, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've did, no matter what your family name represents now, that when you come into the family of God, you've got a new name, you've got a new family, you've got a new heritage, and you don't have to be bashful or ashamed of who you are anymore. You can throw your head up high, you can look straight ahead and say, I am now a part of God's family, the greatest family on earth, and you belong in it. Secondly, I am supported by others. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:21, in Christ the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives in by his Spirit. He's not talking about just a building here. He's talking about a building of people growing together, developing into something that they never thought they could. One person can send 1,000, but two can launch 10,000. We are better together. We build better together. We accomplish more together. We see more done when we are together. In Romans 1:12, he says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. There will be times in your life with what you need, you can't do it alone. Amen. You need others. You won't get through life all by your own. You will learn very quickly that you need somebody in your life. I was thinking about this, and you know, the girls upstairs, they tell me, you can remember things from decades ago, but you can't remember something that happened last week. Sometimes that happens. So I'm in my office, and I'm thinking about this. And out of the blue, I remembered. How many of you remember the band Three Dog Night? Do I have any Three Dog Nighters here? Look at the hands, you sinners, you. I'm just joking. I remembered a song that they sang. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. You may think that you can do it alone by yourself. And some people have all these different definitions that explains their persuasiveness. But when trouble hits your life and life takes a turn, when reality of the choice of one is exposed for what it can never be, God's people can come together in your life at a time
And you will discover that you were never made to do this on your own. But when you are together with others, and even in the middle of all of that, listen, even in the midst of all that, people are, I mean, we are human at best. And you may not get everything you need when you want it. But I'm going to tell you something. Just to hear somebody say to you, you're going to make it. Just to hear somebody say, hey, I'm praying for you. Just to have somebody pat you on the back and say, hey, you're going to be okay. That will mean everything in your life. You can't do this alone. Some of the hardest moments in my life, I had people come to me and say, and just say to me, hey, you're going to make it. Do you know that all you got to do, you don't have to have a doctorate, or you don't have to be a counselor, or you don't have to have it all together or go to Bible school. All you got to do is show the love of Jesus to somebody when they're broken and when they're hurting and when they need a friend. You can just be that friend. You can call out my name. See, I'm remembering stuff all over the place. And you know, wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. All you have to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend. I remember some of the darkest times. I said this in the first service. Chuck Wood, he come into my office. He just sit down. He says, oh, it's going to be all right. I remember Mike Ogdenby picking me up in his truck, and we'd drive through the woods. Just drive through the woods with his truck. Drive through Crick. He said, be all right. Put a smile on your face. I remember, I was thinking about it during worship. I remember being George Forsythe taking me to lunch. I remember Buck Betters. Some of you don't know him, or you didn't never met him. I remember one time we were doing the Generation Center, and I'm telling you what, you have no idea the hell and the pain that your pastor was going through at that time. And Buck wanted to take me to Washington, D.C. to the presidential prayer breakfast. I wanted to go to that like I wanted to slide down the edge of a razor blade into a vat of iodine. We were in the middle of this. We were putting a roof on it. And we didn't have any money. And I sat in that airplane. He paid for the whole trip. He looked over at me on that airplane. We were sitting there on the tarmac. He says, how much money you got for the roof? I had faith rising up in me. I looked over at him. I said, nothing. How much is it? He says, how much is it? I said, we got a bill for $24,869.24. He says, you'll have a check in the mail on Monday morning for $25,000. I said, what? I said, what did you just say? I can say this now because he's with the Lord. He said, I said, Floyd Douglas Betters is going to write City Church a check for $25,000 to pay for that roof. I was sitting on that plane. I was saying, God, you're behind this. You will see us through this. And I'm telling you, there are people in this building today that you don't even know yet that God is sending to you to help you. Maybe it's not writing a check for a roof, but maybe it's just somebody saying, hey, I want to buy you a cup of coffee. Hey, I want to take you to lunch. Hey, just maybe a hug out at that table before you leave saying, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I think we ought to give a great praise out to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, I've got a friend that stays closer than a brother to me. Number three, I discover my value. Romans 12:4-5 says, just as there are many parts to our body, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. I need you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I need you. Come on, do that. Say, I need you. When I don't see you, I need you. A part of me Nobody is like you. Each of us are needed. I don't care where you came from, what color your skin is. Can I just talk about that just for 3 seconds? That we are in a season in our country that is divided racially again, and the church needs to be the picture of unity like it's never been before. We need to come on today. We need to love one another. And we will never discover who we are called to be until each other knows how important they are to us. They are important to us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, if your foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if your ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? And the answer is no. Ephesians 4:25 says, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. You better know you're going to be together for a long time. And we need one another. And the world needs us to love one another so that we can love others and tell them the love of God. Because we are a city set on a hill. We are the light in a dark place. Number four, I'm protected and I'm cared for when I belong. When I'm in trouble, when I'm challenged, when I'm hurt, I can know that somebody's there to help me. We need a shepherd. 1 Peter 5:2 says, take care of God's flock, his people that you're responsible for. Watch over them because you want to, not because you are forced to do it. And I talk to a lot of pastors a lot of time, and I tell them, if you're just in it because you need a job, get out. Because this is not a job. This is a calling. I have a call to pray for you and to believe God with you. But then there's another phrase that there are 58 times in the New Testament where the word one another is used. And Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. We are responsible for one another, to care for one another, to speak into one another's life. If we see somebody that's in pain or is hurting or is about to make a poor decision, you better believe it. You are called to say, hey, you better hold up there. This isn't going to work out good. And we need to encourage and give each other strength for Thessalonians 5:11. And I love this, what C.S. Lewis said. You might think, well, I just, what can I do? He says this. I love this quote. Friendship is born when one person says to the other, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Huh. You are not the only one. And lastly, my life becomes, when I belong, my life becomes fruitful. John 15:4, a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. I am the vine, you're the branch. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. A disconnected branch cannot bear fruit. None of the fruit that God has planned for your life happens until you're connected and until you belong. Come on. Am I looking at any people today that want to belong to the greatest family on earth? Amen. Why don't you just close your eyes and bow your head with me? I want to close in prayer. I want to believe God to do something beautiful in and through your life. I want to believe him to help. Some of you may have come in. You've come in with issues. Maybe you feel disconnected. Maybe you feel disjointed. Maybe you feel afar off. Maybe you just don't feel like you're a part. Can I tell you today, you are a part. You're needed. You're loved. You're wanted. Yeah, but so-and-so gave me a dirty look. You don't know what so-and-so went through maybe before they come here. Maybe the dirty look wasn't for you. It's just what they're going through. And before I close today, your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that we can never be who he's called us to be until we give him our lives, until we make Christ the Lord of our lives. He wants to come in. He wants to live inside of you. He's not here to be critical and judgmental to you. He's here to lift you up, to love you.
to let you know how much he cares for you. You can do that right where you're at. Just say, Jesus, come in. Live inside of me. Take my life. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Prayer people, I want you to just come to the altar. I want to pray. I want to close. If you need prayer for anything before you leave today, these folks are here. They love you. They want to pray with you. They want to believe God with you. If you're here, you're struggling in an area of your life, don't do it alone. Don't be a loner. Don't seclude yourself. Don't separate yourself. Some of you, you have a propensity to do that. I said some of you have the propensity to do that. I want to pray for you today that you'll know you're better together than alone. Two are better than one. They have a better return for their labor. You belong. God wants to lift you up. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage your life today. Spirit of the living God, have your way in every heart and in every life, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a minute. I just felt a little push from the Lord on this. There's a husband here today that your family is either over or it's looking, you've said in your heart, it looks like it's finished. I just felt the Lord to encourage you today that if you'll surrender all of your life to him, that he's going to turn that around. He's going to change that for you. I don't know who you are. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I know when I felt that little push from the Lord to say that. He's got a plan for your life. And part of the reason that you're in this position that you're at is because you are not connected to other believers that can help you and that can challenge you. The Lord wants to help you. Maybe it's a woman here. Maybe it's a wife. The Lord wants to help you today. He cares so much for you. Spirit of the living God, just continue to move in every life. Have your way in a powerful manner, I pray today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. I ask this day in the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. I love you so